It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
It ain't no joke. I like to buy.
Yeah, 3 o'clock straight up here on The Fan in New York City. Evan and Tiki, a very special Evan and Tiki. Tommy Lugauer. Lugie here with the Midnight Rider, Chris McMonagle.
Yeah.
A little reunion show here. And we will get back to your calls in just 1 second, but I've been teasing it throughout the show. And Chris, you've been battling this and you've been fighting people for this for years. And I think I finally have the solution for you so you can move on from this. It has nothing to do with Aaron Boone and it has nothing to do with Brian Cashman.
Oh,
I just want to preface that here. I will give the statement and I will allow you to react to it.
Okay.
Rose Dawson did not die at the end of Titanic.
Rose Dawson did not die at the end of Titanic. Yeah, I mean, I have a Titanic take at the end that bothers me, and it says a lot about Rose.
So give
quite
the take.
Honestly. All right, well, the take is, at the end of the movie, now I'm curious how you think she doesn't die. I don't remember. I haven't seen the movie in a long time.
I just saw it recently.
Okay, so I forget exactly the circumstance, but pretty much the way I remember it is she tipped. Doesn't she fall, go off the boat, or no?
That was an alternate ending.
Okay.
That
she
never
definitely
aired.
Throws the... the stone off the boat, right?
Yeah, the necklace, the heart
she
of the ocean.
She throws the heart of the ocean off.
Yes,
and then to me, the way I remember it, she passes away, and then her spirit goes to the ship back when it was functional, and there's Jack, and she walks up the steps, and she's about to spend eternity with Jack, and it bothers me, because in the movie, she has a granddaughter. She has a family. She had, after Jack, she married someone, had children with someone, built a life with someone, and then when she passes away... the guy's probably been waiting for her. She's 100 years old. The husband's probably gone. He's been waiting for her to come so he could see his wife again. And she's like, sorry, I got to see about this guy I had a weekend cruise with.
Yeah.
Like, it bothers the hell
out
of me.
She had a fling with Jack, basically the pool boy. You're, you're on a,
that's
a cruise.
Right. Yeah, and she leaves the husband high and dry. He's been waiting years. She's like, sorry, I'm going to spend it with this guy I had a weekend with.
Right.
You don't understand? He drew me.
Like, it's disturbing, bro.
It's ridiculous. It's imagine being that guy.
So to fill in the blanks here a little bit, if you haven't seen the movie in a while, so Rose tells the entire story. They're looking for the heart of the ocean.
Yeah.
At the end of the movie, when she finally has her closure, she tells the story. She's out there on the deck. You're right. She throws the heart of the ocean into the ocean so it could be down with the Titanic and everybody that lost their lives there. And then she's shown in her bed, and it's ambiguous whether she died or whether she's sleeping.
It's a dream.
And they show the pictures of her life, fulfilling everything that she said she would do with Jack, and you never see the husband, this poor, chooch. You never see this guy. Like you said, he married her. They said she was an actress. They don't get into the relationship. Maybe it was a bad one. Maybe it wasn't.
I mean,
I don't know.
I don't expect to be shown it. I don't need the footage of the marriage, and I don't need the reel of the life with him. At the end, though, she chooses to go live eternity with Jack.
Well, two things here. The first reason I used to think why they did that ending, because I used to be under the impression when I first saw it, and for years, I mean, everyone's seen this movie.
Yeah.
It's been out. I'm sure Sean Marash will tell us he never saw it, but we know we saw it 100 times, but everybody's seen the movie. I always thought, yes, she died.
Right.
And the reason they show that scene is because that movie is so heavy. There's so much going on. There's so much heaviness. There's so much death. There's so much tragedy that the audience needed that to feel better leaving the movie. Mm-hmm. And we have no emotional attachment to her husband, but we love Jack. Yeah. We love Leonardo DiCaprio. Yeah. Well, so we wanted to see them meet me at the clock, make it count. That's why they show us that, because it's the sort of a happy ending in what is a morbid story, if you really think about it.
Oh, it's definitely a happy ending, Brian. No. I mean, that's a great point, Tommy. And to what you're saying, I mean, I feel like more and more that it's more of a fantasy than it is her spirit going anywhere. So I think it's a dream.
Yeah, a couple things. We're going to get to the reason why you think I'm curious what makes you think she's not passed away. But you're right. Yeah, we all know why the movie did it. Fine, I get it. Yeah, I understand why James Cameron made that decision. My point is looking at the actual movie and taking the characters for what they are.
Real.
If it were real.
Which it was to a degree, but the story itself.
Obviously, I know they're not going to show the husband we have. Like, I get why they did it. But once they did it, they made a poor character decision for her. It makes her look bad. They did it so we could see Jack with the arm extended. We get it. I get it. But when they did it, they put a major character flaw inside Rose, because for her to ditch her husband who built a life with her to
presumably,
go hang out,
by
presumably,
the way.
Presumably. I mean, listen, are you going to tell? Is James Cameron going to do an interview saying, I've heard this before, we thought about it, he was a bad guy, we built up a whole backstory where he was abusive and all this.
Maybe he was an actor too, and he was running around town, you know, sleeping with harlots. Who the hell knows? We don't know that.
But it just seems puzzling to me that that's who she would choose to go live with. But why don't you think she passed away? What about it? Don't you think the definitive statement of this, the Tommy hot take, was she's not dead.
She's not dead.
Why? What happened?
So she is dreaming.
Okay.
And I think a lot of people don't realize this, and it's amazing to me. So what made Titanic? Well, you don't even have to say great, because we could argue whether it's great or not.
Right.
What made it beyond successful for years, the most successful movie of all time? I know the Avatar movies have passed it. Yada yada. One of the Avengers.
The song.
Okay. The first line in the song is, every night in my dreams, I see you, I feel you.
Oh.
She dreams about Jack every night.
Yeah.
That's the dream she has every single night. She sees Jack in her dreams. So it's not like she dies and goes to wherever she goes to reunite with Jack. And remember, everyone in that scene is dead. It's all the people that died.
I think you've done it. I think that's the case cracker. That's the second My Cousin Vinny reference I've made today. I have to admit, that is an excellent point, because you are 100% correct. The song is without question one of, if not the biggest reason that movie is successful.
Right. The movie itself, the love story, the song,
thing.
Everything.
It's an absolute package.
Right.
Same thing, not nearly on the same level, but The Bodyguard became a hit because of I Will Always Love You, Whitney Houston.
Of
no
course,
doubt
the movie
about
sucked,
it.
But,
it did.
Yeah, different types of movies.
Yeah, different types of movies.
Titanic
Bodyguard
sucked. I understand. Bodyguard did not suck.
Okay. Titanic and Bodyguard, bro. Come on.
I'm just saying that the package of the movie's considered, the movie made a lot of money.
Yeah, Beauty and the Beast was a great one, too. It had a great song.
Yeah, but those
song.
Are Disney musicals. That's a musical. The whole thing is a musical. Right. I'm talking about, I guess you could argue The Bodyguard's a musical. She's a character. She has songs.
I wouldn't argue that it's a musical.
I would argue it's a musical.
No, it's not a musical. The musical is when you sing your thoughts.
But a musical could just be a movie that's based around music. Star is Born is a musical.
Maybe.
No, I wouldn't consider that a musical.
But no, a musical is like West Side Story.
Yeah, musical is when you sing the scenes and sing your thoughts.
That's a traditional musical. But I mean, if a movie is mostly music, it's a musical.
No.
But the reason Titanic was successful, because,
I mean, like, the Johnny Cash movie with Joaquin Phoenix is not a musical.
Walk the Line.
It's not a musical. The Elvis movie is not a musical.
Let's get back to being right. So the movie is great because of the love story, obviously, and we have two young. Really, it's like me and McMonagle doing a show.
Correct.
You're seeing two
it's
young
very much
people
like that, yes.
that are going to be huge stars in the business.
Right.
Obviously, the great Kate Winslet and Leo is amazing.
Yeah.
You're seeing them really in their earlier roles, their love story, their chemistry, the fact that it was a true story, at least the Titanic sinking, everything about it, the action, the money they spent, but that song, and that song was such a huge hit, and Celine Dion, I think Mount Rushmore as far as female, any really singer, she's amazing.
Yes.
Every night in my dreams, I see you.
That's a good point.
So, she's not a bad person, she just sees him in the dream, she didn't die.
If that's the case, completely vindicates her. She's allowed to dream. Dreams are fine.
My dreams.
It's fair.
I see you.
It's fair.
I feel
it's very fair.
Now, can I go 2 for 2 here on this movie?
I still think she passed away in her spirit. I'm sticking with it, but that is a valid point because the song is so connected, and she literally says, every night I see you, that's how the movie ends. Boom, right into the song and the credits. hard to argue. You're making a good point.
So there, I forgot if it's called the Mandela effect. I think it is called the Mandela effect.
Where we assume that things are attached that never really were.
Correct.
The Mandela effect.
So we'll jump around here, but I'll get back to Titanic.
I just want to tell you,
You want to kiss me right now?
No, not that I want to kiss you.
You can do it on the lips, but I
just feel like you're coming up with good stuff. I did the show with Sean last week, and the idea that Sean Marash would throw the Mandela effect at me is like completely. He wouldn't even know what the hell I'm talking about. So the idea that we're having this kind of conversation, I'm feeling good about it. So please go ahead.
All right. So in Star Wars, right, Empire Strikes Back, which I think is the best of the trilogy, and I'm a trilogy of the series, and I love Star Wars. There is a scene there that everybody gets wrong.
Luke, I am your father.
Correct. Yes. Now, spoiler alert, the movie's been out forever.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks it's Luke, I am your father.
Yes.
That's not the line. It's Obi-Wan never told you what happened to your father. And he goes, he told me enough. He told me you killed him. What Darth Vader says is, no, I am your father. He doesn't say, Luke, I'm your father. Right. He says, no, I'm your father.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, the Mandela effect, here's where it applies to Titanic. Because this is another criticism of Rose. I'm just on the Rose Redemption tour here.
Odd choice, but please continue.
And again, spoiler alert, the movie's been out forever.
Yeah.
At the end, when the boat sinks and it's Rose and it's Jack in the ocean.
Yes.
Rose gets criticized for going onto the door and surviving.
Well, not making room. It seemed like the door was big enough for the two of them, is the what people say.
Go back and rewatch the movie or watch that scene. Jack tries to get on there. He couldn't fit on there.
There's no room, bro.
There was no room. They actually tried. He tried to get on. There was no room. And he sacrificed himself for her.
Well,
she's
clearly
not a pig. They tried.
Yeah.
Rewatch it. So she gets hate for that.
Yeah.
She tried to get him on there, and it didn't fit.
The door wasn't built to hold the two people like that. You know what I mean? Like, it had like a little piece. Like, if it was a whole door, it would have been good, but it wasn't.
The implication, I don't know if she gets hit. I guess she does a little bit, but it's more that there was room. I don't know if that's you're stretching the Mandela effect slightly. People just disagree on this.
I think people just don't realize that he tried.
Yeah, but that's not like
I think people forget that.
The biggest, I hear you. I got to go back and watch the movie. I haven't seen it in forever. Is the door big enough? I get that he tried. There's no doubt the implication is he doesn't believe that the two of them can fit. I do think most people understand that. Yeah, he's sacrificing himself for her. That is without question.
But she gets hate for this.
Yeah,
this is a big thing on the internet.
Because people be like, screw it. You can get up here. Try. Let's try. But maybe he did try. I don't remember.
So I believe that they tried.
Yeah.
He couldn't get on. I think even like multiple attempts to get on the door, and that's why he did that, and ultimately we know what ended up happening to Jack. But I hope I convinced a lot of people here, because again, this is stuff that's going on for years. Kate Winslet, James Cameron, they still are asked this question about whether she died or not, because you hear all the time, what about this poor schlub, the husband, this chooch, basically spent his whole life
and doesn't
get mentioned.
No, don't you dare. We were really cool up until this point where you tried to take my unique Titanic take and make it seem like everybody has it. No. I came up with that. That is a genuinely unique to me. I was clever enough to think about, just like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer lyrics. That's me. You know, did I tell you the problem with Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
No.
And the real problem I have with that song?
No, we've never discussed
that. The beginning of the lyrics make no sense. He goes, I know you know Prancer and Dancer and Donner and Blitzen, but do you recall the most famous reindeer of all? Well, if you're going to assume I know Blitzen, why the hell would you wonder if I know the most famous reindeer of all? If I'm like all caught up on my reindeer, why the hell would Rudolph suddenly like, oh no, I didn't know Rudolph. I knew Blitzen and all the other guys. Oh, you say he's the most famous? Well, then why wouldn't I know that?
So it's presumptuous on the part of the people.
Well, it just makes no sense. I know you know this one and that one, but do you know the most famous reindeer of all? Well, clearly I do, if you think I know all the reindeer.
I got to be honest with you, bro. I think it's one of those, like, I think Rudolph in the reindeer community, he's like an if you know, you know kind of guy. So he's a legend to them.
Yeah, well, no, but he says he's like, the most famous.
Yeah, but the other guys, I think it's like, you know, it's like, hey, he's famous to us. You guys should know who he is kind
of
deal.
I don't know.
I don't think I know all of them anyway.
No,
so maybe
I'm
perfect
sure
for this song.
Dasher and Dancer and Donner and Blitzen?
There's a comet in there?
Con, Cupid, Donner, and Vixen? I don't know.
But
I don't know them all either. But I know Rudolph, and I don't like the idea that tell me all of them.
Well, that
you assume I know the other ones, and then just go, oh, but do you know the most famous? Yeah, the one whose nose turned red and that the stories are all about, and I saw the cartoon since I was a kid. Yeah, I know that one.
nobody knew Rudolph before they did that whole marketing campaign with the song, now Rudolph is the most famous reindeer of all, so they did their job.
I know.
Yeah, he's the star.
The wordplay still doesn't make sense. Do you know what the biggest Mandela effect one is for me that I would have bet my life on?
What's that?
That Ed McMahon was on Publishing Clearinghouse. That he was on the letters. I don't know if you remember this.
No,
you're around the same age.
I don't.
But Publishers Clearinghouse, they would I think I'm saying it right. Publishers Clearinghouse.
Yeah.
They would give away the contest, all the big money.
Yeah,
it was like that.
Well,
I would have bet anything that Ed McMahon was the face of that.
And he wasn't.
No.
Why? What makes you think that he was?
I don't know.
It's just
the only way I knew that he wasn't is because when the Mandela effect came up, I looked it up, and that's one of the Mandela effects. And then I went back and researched it. He had nothing to do with Publishers Clearinghouse. I thought for sure I got letters in the mail as a kid. My family got letters in the mail as a kid with Ed McMahon's face on it for Publishing Clearinghouse. Apparently, never had any association with it.
Wow. No. So that there
that
you go.
One blows my mind. I would.
Yeah, that
bet
one I wasn't familiar
anything.
With.
Anything.
Yeah.
Like, when you asked, like, what is Ed McMahon? If you would have said, who's Ed McMahon? I would have said, Johnny Carson and the Publishing Clearinghouse. Like, it would have been the same thing as Johnny Carson to me. Like, that's how I know him. And he has nothing to do with it. That one blows my mind.
All right, Sports Radio 101.9.
Yes.
we will get back to sports
hey,
for
you,
sure.
Hey, you did it.
Well, I think I blew a lot of people's mind here, and we will mix in a lot of this stuff throughout the show. We're here till 6 o'clock. I have a Yankee checklist. We got to get to it, Big Mac. I'm going to bounce a few things off him. We got a Giants preseason game coming up here on the Fan. Yankees as well, splitting signals. So we'll have a lot going on here. Well, I'll get to the bottom of what we're doing as far as programming later, but we have Giants, we have Yankees, everything going on.
Mets up 2-0 already.
Mets up. So we'll get back to your calls, of course, 888-808-1019. Evan and Tiki, but a special one here today. Tommy Lugauer, Chris McMonagle, reunion of sorts here. Big Mac and Lugie.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You didn't even realize you missed it, but in 6 short weeks, it's back. September 5th at 4:30 p.m. on Evan and Tiki. Presented by Security Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram.
Vamanos! All right, 3:23 here on The Fan. Evan and Tiki, Tommy Lugauer, Lugie, Chris McMonagle, the Midnight Rider. Here, I keep calling you that. You do go by the Midnight Rider, right?
You do. I mean, I sing the song on when I do my 5-hour shows that start at midnight. Yeah, it's the Midnight Rider.
And when you promote your shows,
it's more. Well, I mean,
you say it's a Midnight Ride.
I don't call myself the Midnight Rider. I call the shows the Midnight Ride.
But then you play the Allman Brothers song to
Midnight
start
Rider.
Your show.
Yes, yeah. I do. And yeah, I sing so, it. Yeah. Yeah. No one stopped the Midnight Rider. I mean, yeah.
I'll help you along here, kid. You got to brand yourself. You got to be the Midnight Rider.
Yeah, I know, but I'm only the Midnight Rider once or twice a week max. You know what I'm saying?
No, but
if
you're...
I was on at midnight every night, I would call myself.
No. Once you're the Midnight Rider, you're the Midnight Rider 24/7. That's how you got to live your gimmick.
No, I understand. Yeah, you see,
that's what it takes.
Yeah.
You ever seen the Prestige?
I was just going to say, I'm not in the Prestige.
Yeah.
I don't.
Well, this
is
why we're great together because we know this stupid stuff.
Yes.
He lives his act. That's what it takes to be a great magician. So to be a great host.
I'm not trying to be a great magician.
No, but you're trying to be a great host, so I go by generational talent. The future,
I get it.
Always
yeah.
Loogie. So you're the Midnight Rider.
Well, where? Yeah, no, I know. I'm the Midnight Rider, sure.
I like it.
I like it, too. It works. That's why I picked the song to do it.
I had no idea it was a song.
It's more of an opportunity. You had no idea the Allman Brothers
Midnight
Rider?
So I'll take everybody through this, and then I got two other things, and then we'll get back to your calls here. 888-808-1019. So I saw the post, obviously, hey, you know, got a Midnight Ride coming up, and you do like stuff from movies, which I
usually
gonna chuckle.
Yeah, I usually do like I'll put a GIF of riding or
right.
we
Dumb
ride
something
along
something
someone in a car, someone on a bike. I just did the Pee Wee Herman on his bicycle. Like it's always about a ride.
Very funny. I like it.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, okay, I guess it's the Midnight Ride, whatever. And then one day I was doing the Lou Gower, okay, the formerly the Bridge Show, and once again, a time slot that I might add only was held by myself and Mike Francesa. That's it. The only two people to ever do a Bridge Show.
What are you talking about?
Well, the only two people here to do that.
I invented the Bridge Show.
Well, no. The only two people ever do a half-hour show here, me and Francesa.
No, that's incorrect.
What do you mean?
What do you mean? What do you mean?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, I talked to my lackeys, and they told me that me and Francesa were the only two people to do that half-hour Bridge Show.
Your lackeys forgot about Big Mac, who did the Bridge Show first.
Interesting.
I don't even know what you're getting at. How are you trying? I don't even understand how you can possibly make this case. I clearly did the Bridge Show.
No, I was just trying to put myself in the same sentence as Mike Francesa.
You can add me in there.
Well, I don't remember you doing it. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, you don't remember me doing it?
No, I don't remember.
Yeah. Okay. I heard you say this on the air, and then you went, by the way, Chris McMonagle. I was like, wait.
You did hear that?
Well, yeah. What are you like? You're digging something in my heart, like, oh. He says I didn't do the Bridge Show.
Like,
I did the Bridge Show. I started the Bridge Show. I was the first Bridge Show guy.
You came up with the Bridge Show.
Yes. I believe. I think I'm the guy who called it the Bridge Show. JJ did a half-hour show when he was still here.
Did he?
But it was a strictly gamble. It was sponsored by a sports bet, a sports book. I forget which one.
I'm not as cool.
But it was a gambling show. I don't know if it was strictly a half-hour, but JJ did a brief thing in between Summers and Francesa.
Speaking of Summers, he did Bridge Shows too. He used to come off for 10 minutes because we were behind on spots and Mike wouldn't break going into like the Devil broadcast. We'll be back in later. Right.
No, I did the Bridge Show. I invented the Bridge Show. I called it the Bridge Show. I don't think it was called the Bridge Show until I called it the Bridge Show.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. So do what you want.
So
say what you
Francesa,
want.
That's what
no
I
one
heard
cares.
There.
I say what you want, buddy. You want to be the only guy
with
the Bridge Show?
Buddy? Now I'm really getting the passive aggressive treatment. What's next, pals?
Listen, Tiger. I mean, you want to say you're the only one. You and Mike are the only one do a half hour show. Say whatever you want. I was there. I know what happened. I did it.
So back to the marketing thing, which is part of it. I would see you do that, and I didn't understand it. So I'm doing the Lou Gower, of course, 6:30 here on the Fan. There's no Yankees Monday through Friday, and Mac was filling in for Keith at 7 o'clock. So I'm done. I'm wrapping up my show. And I hear you singing this song, The Midnight Rider. And I had no idea what the hell it was. So I didn't realize the Allman Brothers had a song, Midnight Rider. And that's where you got it from.
Did I do it at 7 o'clock?
Yeah.
I think Rosie played it for me. Right. And I called it The Ride to Midnight instead. Yes.
That's my point. Yes. So branding it
to
Midnight Rider.
Well, really, it's just to show off my chops singing. It's an opportunity. I sing Bobby Darin, Mac the Knife.
Yeah.
The Knife is the name of the song, Mac the Knife.
What'd I say?
Mac the Knight.
Oh.
Mac the Knife, Mackie's back, you know, whatever. I sing that every night at 2 a.m. because I just like to sing.
And how many pigeons drop dead when they hear you singing? You got a decent voice. You know?
Come on.
No, come on.
No, you know what? You know
you
what I say?
You got a shower voice.
Well, no. Yeah. Oh, way better. You know what I would, honestly, I'm not even kidding. I would be the best Danny Zuko.
Hold on.
No, I'm telling you right now, I would be a phenomenal Danny Zuko on a Norwegian cruise line.
No,
I'm telling you right now, you go
where
to
do
see
you apply for that?
Your aunt Millie and Uncle Tom would come back from a matinee showing of Grease on the cruise ship and go, you know what, that Danny Zuko, he was chubby, but man, could he sing? I'm telling that's exactly what would happen. I would be a tremendous Danny Zuko on a cruise ship. Just, you know, not like good enough for Broadway or even off Broadway.
You're not the songbird of your generation.
No, I'm not that, but what I am is one. I can carry a tune.
Care to show us there,
no,
Mac?
No, I've done this already. They made me do this on BT.
Oh.
You better shape up. They're multiplying. And I'm losing control. Cause the power you're supplying. Electrifying! Come on, right there. That
can
is
the
just
of,
bad enough
Rizzo?
To be.
Better shape up, cause I need a man. And my heart is set on you. I kind of have a squeaky voice anyway.
You better shape up if I'm gonna prove
to my heart I must be true. Nothing left.
Alright, we have no future in the singing business. We're still doing this? Alright.
Okay.
Enough.
I'm telling you right now.
They would walk away.
I'm telling you right now.
I have seen productions
of musicals on Broadway ships. On cruise ships. Yeah. That's what I would do.
All right.
I went to high school with a girl that does Norwegian Cruise Line Broadway shows, and
there
she was in Greece.
So, see? Boom.
God,
me and her.
And her husband was Danny Zuko.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Before or after she met him on the cruise ship and became Mrs. Danny Zuko, or they went in as a tag team?
After the cruise ship.
Yeah, see, that's what happens.
That's a good time.
I'm trying to get all my thoughts here. I got a few things here. So, on that note, so did you guys do, Matt, did you have like lip sync back in like elementary school? Where you did, your head's on fire over there. You're reading your cell phone. What a way to be a professional.
Well, Keith McPherson is texting me that he did bridge shows as well. I don't know if he called them the bridge shows, but he said he did bridge shows from the Barclays.
You know what? Yeah. So then I'm the only one to do the Lou Gower. The point is this.
Well, I thought Keith took over JJ's sports betting thing for a brief time. I remember that because the thing was still running and JJ had left. But I don't know if I would classify that as a bridge show if it had a sponsored specific reason.
You know who
but
else did that show? Filippone from out in Pittsburgh, too.
There so did my cousin. here's the point. So the lip syncing back in the day. Did you do that at school, lip syncs?
Yes.
All right, so elementary school. So every year we do a lip syncing thing. I think, I don't know if the kindergarten kids are doing it, but we did it throughout the grades, right? So in the fifth grade, whoever was in fifth grade, they did a big one, right? They did like the grand finale.
Sure.
So when I was in fifth grade, this is a shock to nobody. Of course, I'm a sellout. I did the big one and we did Grease. Right. Of course, because I wanted to be up there with the girls, the whole deal. But I had buddies I did it for every single year I did it with, and I kind of ditched them. But I felt like I had sound reasoning. They did Blues Brothers, but there was three of us. And I said, but there's only really two Blues Brothers, obviously Belushi and Aykroyd.
Right.
So I felt justified in being a horrible friend because I wanted to go be with the popular kids and do Grease.
Yeah.
Where do you stand on that? Should I have been a better friend and did the Blues Brothers song, even though there's only two Blues Brothers?
Yeah.
Technically, I know there's a couple other guys hanging around.
Are you looking for justification from me from a mistake you made 20 years ago? Is that where we are right now?
I think it's a mistake. I felt justified. I wanted to be with the cute girls and do Grease.
It's still bothering you, though.
Well, it bothered my friends. We didn't speak for years. Swear to God.
Get the hell out of here.
Oh, yeah, no, it was bad.
Because you wouldn't do the lip sync contest in fifth grade?
There was a lot going on there. We did the Beach Boys back in the day. We did a couple other things. There was a few other things where I was being a bad friend. So a buddy of mine, now we're dear friends again. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. But we didn't speak forever because he actually begrudgingly invited me to his bar mitzvah. Like he didn't even want to do that. His mom made me do that.
Yeah.
So we didn't speak forever because I ditched him. And I said, there's two Blues Brothers. So what am I going to be doing up there? Plus, I wanted to be with the cool kids and the popular kids. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. So am I a bad friend? This is where you say
No.
No.
I mean, to be fair, though, John Goodman was also a Blues Brother, so there were three.
And the third one or whatever. Yeah.
But that was, when was this? This was like 1990. Right. I don't know.
It was that second movie they did, right? He stepped in?
I think it was the third. Yeah, but it was probably after he was in fifth grade, to be fair.
All right. One other thing here, too. Football's back here.
Yes.
Fantasy football. Everybody's getting ready for their drafts. So during the break, McMonagle looked at me and he said, man, I had to quit one of my leagues. And I said, yeah, me too. It ended up being the same league we were both in that we quit.
I feel bad.
I do too. And I'm not saying my wife made me. Let me just be clear here. But for years, I've been saying I have too many leagues. I have too many leagues. And my wife gets on me every year. She's like, you ever going to quit one of these? So finally, I just said, you know what? I got to get rid of this league. It's the league that I've been in the least amount of time. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So, but dude, I felt awful telling the person.
Yeah.
It's fantasy football. It shouldn't be that big of a deal.
I felt
like the worst guy on the planet telling him this.
You feel bad because it's work for him. Now he's got to find another. Like he said he had backup, so I guess it's not that big a deal. It's not a keeper league either, which makes it easier.
I agree.
Someone's not inheriting a team. The same reason. I'm in five leagues, and now my son wants to do a
five.
Yeah. And now my son wants to do a father-son league.
So that would be six.
With Buddy. So that would be six. I had five, seven.
Five is way too many.
No, it would have been six. Now it's five because I got rid of one and adding the one. So it's still five.
Traded. Yeah.
I traded one. Now again, I don't think this one with my son is going to be money. You know, I'm going to let him try and do a lot of the work here, but still it's going to be another fan. I'm going to end up doing a lot of the work.
Yeah. I love fantasy football, and I don't know if you feel the same way here too. I think with obviously like gambling becoming like legal, you no longer have to bet with your barber, and you can bet all this stuff like with fantasy props and stuff. I feel like that's a fantasy team.
Yeah,
I could bet touchdowns and yards on that.
Yeah,
and so I have that plus the thing. It's not even a money thing. It's just too much for the brain space.
I think that's spot on. I think the legalized betting where it's at your fingertips on your phone has hindered the season-long fantasy teams.
Yeah.
It's hindered my passion for it.
It's more about a thing you do fantasy now because you've done it forever. It's with your buddies, whatever.
Right.
You go out for a steak dinner at the end.
Right.
Camaraderie.
Right. We have, I'm talking with my buddies now, they want to add more money or whatever, but we have trophies.
Yeah, so do
I. And we have the loser gets a trophy as well of a part of the male anatomy.
That's funny. So I'm in a league with a bunch of buddies, high school buddies, I won't give out any names. The loser's a picture of the... We don't do this anymore, actually. Now we went on to the championship belt. But in the beginning of the league, if you finished in last, whoever finished in last, a picture of that person's mother would go to the person in first place on the trophy. So it's just like your mama. Yeah, it's just like these guys like to take shots at That's each other's weird. Moms and stuff. Well, you know how the deal is. We got a hot mom. I'm still in love with Stacey's so mom. Stacey, if you're listening.
Wait, it's got to be... So, like, is you're sending, like, provocative
no, pictures? No. It's just a standard like, photo. Hey, no, hold on. Let me be clear.
Listen, a little bit of, I picture some lingerie. Can you take a quick photo? I'm going to send it to my buddies.
I lost the fantasy football league, Mom. You're gonna need to send me some nudes.
No, there was nothing on that perverse. It would just be a picture, whoever lost, a picture of their mother.
I'm sorry. It's so awkward, but you have to do it, like, Mom.
A picture of Mom at the Lugau family reunion? Like, what photo? Like, isn't that... I want a picture of your mom. That's it. You lost. Hand it over.
Pretty
so,
much. I mean,
bizarre.
I'm not the commissioner. You got to take it up with my friends.
That's
He's
bizarre.
The one that created
what
this.
What kind of weird league are you in? Loser has to send photos of his mom?
The winner gets a trophy to put in their house with the loser's mom on there. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
What kind of pictures do you guys have of your mama's line
around?
The
picture called it the Zach Wilson league.
The picture goes on the trophy?
Yes.
Okay.
Picture of mom.
And it stays there.
Yes.
So every year the loser's mom goes on the trophy.
Right. It's not like the mom stay there forever. Obviously, the new year, mom comes off, and then the loser's mom goes to the winner every year
it's
on the trophy.
Still very
Which
weird.
We don't do anymore, by
Do you
the
tell
way.
Your mothers this? Are I they wouldn't. Aware?
I have no idea. I wouldn't tell my mom.
Now she knows.
Well, now she knows. She listens to every show. But yeah, now
she's
going
to be like, I hope you picked the right one. So she's going to tell you. She's
so
like,
I never finish in last, though. That's also why I never told her. Because I never finished.
Never actually had to do it.
Yeah. It's hard to finish in last in fantasy. I've done it in leagues, but it's hard. You have to have a lot of injuries, yada, yada, yada. But that was it, because we've gone over like fantasy football punishments before. But that was, I don't know, I guess it's like your mama joke. Again, I'm still in love with Stacey's mom. It's always like, you know the deal. Like if you had friends that had a hot mom.
I don't know that deal. No, I don't know that
If you had a friend
deal.
Back in the day that had a hot mom, you went over for milk and cookies constantly.
Now I'm confused, because you're making it sound like this thing started with hot moms.
It could be both.
I want a picture of your hot mom.
Well, it could be. If your mom is hot, then it's a date. Guys, you know this.
No,
if your mom is hot, that
I
sucks.
Don't.
Okay.
No. Now you're veering off into something else.
Okay.
What was the genesis of I want a photo of your mother? Was it because your mother's attractive, or was it because I'm going to like pretend your mom's attractive, or somehow the champion is your daddy in some way? Like, I'm very confused.
I don't know this.
It's bizarre.
Well, I didn't come up with it, but
I wouldn't have said this.
If I know my friends the way I know them, and I'm close with the guy who runs the league, and I'm semi-close with the rest of the guys. Again, we all went to high school. We actually saw each other.
So guys you are semi-close with have to send pictures of their mother to you.
No.
If you finish in first.
They're not DMing me.
There's a chance you've never met these women, and yet you need their photos.
I have only met maybe one or two of them. Again, we grew up together. You see the guy's mom. But again,
then you get a picture of her, and you know, maybe you do meet her.
Yeah. Right. So I think it's either if she's hot, that's a dig. If she's ugly, she's a dig. I'm just telling you what happened.
All right, I'm just... Okay.
I forgot where we are.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, let's get back.
You're leading this thing. Can you pull on the reins a little bit?
All right, we're going to rein it in right now.
Come on.
We're going to rein it in right now.
You're throwing nothing but nonsense at me.
Because we got a lot of time. We got a lot of sports to get to.
I get it.
So Alonso just homered. Obviously, he's got more home runs than Aaron Judge since 2019. Pete Alonso, the most prolific power hitter in all baseball.
What an embarrassment you are.
What?
How are you still holding on to that?
Because he's got more home runs than Judge since 2019.
He's got about half the home runs this year.
So what?
What's going on?
Since 2019.
And you can include the home runs he hit in the home run derby. Still doesn't add up to Judge.
I mean, he's, you know, the numbers back up that Pete Alonso is the most prolific power hitter.
It certainly does not.
Well, it certainly does. Because
it certainly doesn't.
Well, he just hit another one here, so he's got
he hit another one here. Ooh,
yeah, he's got more than Judge.
He got 22?
No, he's got more than Judge since 2019. Yeah, that makes you the best.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
It's because of...
Take it.
We had this argument already. Home runs per at bat, it's not even close.
I think it is, and I think he has... No, it's not. You're right from that perspective, but I think being on the field, availability, all that stuff, knock on wood, Pete Alonso's been healthy throughout his career. It just makes him the man. Now, Aaron Judge, he could end up passing him. We'll see.
Yeah.
You know, good luck. But Pete Alonso has more home runs than Aaron Judge since 2019. I bring that up to brag and prop up my boy Pete, but also, this stuff with Aaron Judge, and I think this comes down to a couple things. Now, the intentional walk stuff. Now, he's nowhere near Barry Bonds. And Barry Bonds, obviously, that was a ridiculous... he intentionally walked a million times. But baseball has to do something here. The integrity of what's going on here, you don't want to take away from the sport, right, if guys continue to intentionally walk them. So I came up with a rule here. And maybe it'll sound a little ridiculous, but I think that we can come to some common ground.
Mm-hmm.
I think if a player like Aaron Judge gets intentionally walked, let's say 10 times in a season, the 11th time, he should be able to take second base. Your thoughts?
Yeah, no. They,
some type of penalty or punishment. Because it takes away from the game.
No, but they won't intentionally walk him. They'll just pitch around him. They'll throw four balls. They won't put up the four fingers. There is no way to legislate this.
How about using your judgment that
there is no way? There's no way to legislate this. There's no way to legislate intentional walks. There is just none. It is up to the Yankees to provide a whether they have to switch the lineup around or whatever the case may be and make them pay for walking Judge. There is no penalty for intentional walks. There cannot be. There cannot be. And I'm a Yankee fan. I want it to stop, too. You cannot penalize someone for intentionally walking. It's part of the game. I understand it's fans and everything. I get it. They'll work their way around it. They'll throw four balls in the dirt. And then it's up to the umpire's judgment. And the managers are going to be out there arguing, say, hey, my guy throws breaking balls. He's trying to make a great pitch
to
Judge.
But you can tell, Mac, when it's an unintentional.
I can't leave it up to interpretation. I'm sorry. I've heard a bunch of different theories on how it sucks for the game.
Yeah.
Comparing it to load management. You go to see Aaron Judge and he's walked four times.
People were booing at the game I was at when the Mets weren't pitching to him.
It doesn't, that's just it's up to the Yankees. Now, he's nowhere near, you mentioned the number. Aaron Judge has been intentionally walked, I believe, 11 times, right? Let me just double check here.
Mac
he has 12 times. So Barry Bonds was intentionally walked in 2004 120 times. 120. All right? We're at the point where he's been walked 12 times. The Red Sox attacked him. They went after him on every single opportunity when they played the Red Sox. Mm-hmm. Some teams are going to do it. Some teams are not. Now you've got Wells coming through and has a 900 OPS in the closing in the cleanup spot. It is up to the Yankees to make sure he gets pitched to. Nobody else. It's not up to Major League Baseball. I cannot stand the idea of somehow you're going to give him second base on a walk.
Well, but God.
Now you're penalizing in your rule,
right,
where it's the 11th time. Now everybody, teams that haven't walked them but one time, they're going to get penalized?
Yeah. Well, let's say the Brewers, I'm just giving an example.
It would have to be for a game. It'd have to be no more than two intentional walks per game or
all
something
like that.
All right,
then you get second base. And if there's guys on base, they score. You got to do something because it is, to me, it's like, in what other sport, Mac, let's try to think about this. In what other sport can you take away a player like that? It's one thing if I have Sauce Gardner and I take away your best wide receiver.
Yeah.
You are literally taking the bat out of his hands.
Yes.
Even with the fans, they get screwed. That's part of it. But, there's no other sport where that's like that. So there's got to be some type of penalty. There's got to be.
Because
why wouldn't every team just do this? I'm surprised they don't.
First of all, since it's really happened, the real, genesis of this and the big example of it was not even intentional walks. When the Mets pitched around them that entire game, other than the final at-bat with Diekman.
Mm-hmm.
They pitched around in the entire game, and since then it's really become a talking point. And since then, the Yankees have won, and the Yankees have scored a ton of runs. It's up to the Yankees to make them pay for walking them. They got to get a better lineup together, and you've seen Wells now come through. You cannot pay. You're going to give him second base. You're going to give him a run. They need to make sure that he scores. The reason you don't want to walk him is because you don't want to put runners in scoring position. You don't want to make it easier to score runs. Why wouldn't anybody do it? Because in some situations, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, I can't. I am not penalizing a team for intentionally walking anybody. That's part of the game. Take it out of the rule. Say you can't do it. I'd rather that than penalize.
So get rid of intentional walks.
I'd rather just get rid of intentional walks.
I'm down for that too. There might be a little bit of red tape there because in certain spots it's but you could unintentionally do it.
Right.
But it's just, it's lame too. It's just stupid.
No, I think I'd rather just say, hey, you got to pitch to the guy, no intentional. But then they'll do the same thing. They'll just they'll throw it so far. There's no way to avoid. And there's a lot of things about baseball that's different. There's no clock. The defense.
There is a pitch clock, but I hear you. There's actual clock.
There's no actual got to get 27 outs. The defense holds the ball. There's a lot of different things about every sport. This is part of the game.
All right, let's go to Lewis in Little Falls. What's up?
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up?
Hey, Tommy, that's a ridiculous take. 11, your 11th time, he's going to just get two bases?
All right, so you want to go 15th time he gets two bases? Where do you want to go with it?
No, he just walks. That's it.
Yeah, but it's just the integrity of the game. I would even throw the fans' experience in there. It's ridiculous because we saw it with Bonds, and I understand it's only going to happen a couple times. It's not going to happen a lot.
It's happened 12 times.
No, I mean just as far as Bonds now. Otani probably dealt with it. But it's happened 12, but it's going to happen more. It's not like he's not going to get intentionally walked down the stretch here in the next couple months.
It's up to the team to adjust.
if you're talking integrity of the game, keep the game the same.
I agree. I mean, like, that's the same thing as saying, and thank you for the call, Lewis. Oh, you know what? Strikeouts have become crazy. You go to a game, it's 12 strikeouts in a game. It's ridiculous. Batting averages are so low. Let's move the mound back 2 feet. Like, that's, it's the same thing. I'm not I don't want to change the game. Like,
but sometimes changing the game can be for the good. A lot of people didn't want the pitch clock. It was good.
I get
the
it.
DH. There's certain things that can help. I like the intention, getting rid of it. Like, something to solve this.
You can't. If you get rid, it's the same thing. Getting rid of it's the same thing. They're just not going to put four fingers up. They're going to throw four balls. It's up to the Yankees to make sure it doesn't happen.
All
plain
right.
and simple.
Let's go to Steve in White Plains. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. What's going on? Thanks for having me on.
You got it, buddy.
You're kind of on the right track here with that rule. But the first thing is it's never going to happen just because it doesn't happen enough in the game. But I do like the idea of doing it. I don't think you do it, like, on his 10th intentional walk, the 11th one he gets the base, because – that penalizes a team that maybe hasn't intentionally walked in the past.
100%.
But if you automatically put them on second base, I think that puts a wrinkle into it, because now teams aren't going to do it, because, again, the whole point of the intentional walk is you put runners on base.
Right.
In a fourth spot to try and get it there.
Yeah, but how do you legislate that? Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, you're saying an intentional walk, every single intentional walk, be it Aaron Judge or anybody else, any intentional walk gives the runner two bases. Is that what you're saying?
Not every single intentional walk, only an intentional walk with no runners on. That's where I think it should play.
All right, but then they're just going to throw four balls.
But, you know, and that's one thing I kind of wish they would do, the whole just throw up four fingers, let the guy go to first base.
Yeah.
In the era where guys are so conscious about pitches, make them throw the four balls and drive up the pitch count, or you never know.
Yeah, that's a fair argument. In the world of, they did it to eliminate downtime. That's why they did it. Same reason for the pitch clock. They eliminated it because they didn't want nothing happening and four pitches taking a minute of nothing going on. So I get that, and maybe that is some sort of, but they're lobbing it in. We're overthinking this, guys. There's one aspect of this we're overthinking. It is up to the New York Yankees to adjust to their hitter being intentionally walked. Plain and simple. You have to move the lineup. You have to get better hitters behind them. Plain and simple. This, you can't, like, there is no Judge is too good to walk. He's too much fun to walk. We've got to watch him for the good of the game to walk. Like, this is baseball. It's up to the Yankees to adjust how other teams attack them. You just mentioned Sauce Gardner or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, football or anything else, they attack a certain aspect of your team. It's up to you to adjust and stop allowing yourself to be beat in that same manner. This is no different. This is professional sports. It's up to Brian Cashman to build a good enough roster. It's up to the hitters behind him. It's up to Aaron Boone and whoever else constructs the lineup to help Aaron Judge get pitched to. Plain and simple. It's just that he's so good that it's unfortunate, but it is the way it is. I can't imagine. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No worries. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie, Big Mac here. A special Evan and Tiki. We got you to 6 o'clock. More on this stuff with Aaron Judge, intentional walks. I have a Yankee checklist I want to run by Big Mac here at some point.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.